Avaya has changed my life.
Avaya has made me the woman I am today.
Avaya is my home.
Avaya is personal freedom.
Avaya is the reason my life continuously improves.
Let everyone in your life know about Avaya.
Everyone needs to know about this amazing company.
Thank you, Avaya, for appearing in my inbox.
What Ike Allen and Andy Anderson have created at Avaya is what the world needs.
Hello, Avaya family. I'm Andy Anderson. My partner, Ike Allen, and I are teachers, mentors, and the co-owners of Avaya University. Avaya is the creator of over 1,000 books, films, courses, teachings, and other supportive resources. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Our fellow teacher, Stacey Brookman, is back with us today to talk about creating powerful and resilient boundaries. Stacey is a resilience and performance coach and founder of Real Life Resilience. Women who want to stop giving away their power and start using their voice leverage Stacey to gain clarity from their life lessons, lean on their hard-won wisdom, and have power to speak up for themselves. Welcome back to Avaya, Stacey.
Thank you, Andy. I am so excited to be here. This is always fun.
Yeah, I always love talking to you, and I love the topic today. I think it's so important. So let's talk about that. What do you think the foundational bricks, so to speak, are that we need to understand to start working on our boundaries?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I used to think boundaries were so hard. I'm like, I had them for like my ex, or I had them for my, you know, husbands at the time or whatever. And they just trampled all over them. I'm like, boundaries are so hard. But we first have to have an understanding of two things that we're taught as kids, as children, that are totally wrong. So number one is that, first of all, that other people and external circumstances are responsible for how we feel. So I don't know if you remember like adults in your life, but I know in my lives, they used to go around saying things like, you need to say you're sorry for hurting Billy's feelings. Or I told you to go kiss your aunt. You go kiss her. You don't want to make her sad, do you? Mm-hmm. And so what that teaches us is that other people are responsible for our happiness and we're responsible for other people's happiness. And that's just not true. And then, and we can talk more about that. But the second thing is that we learn as kids is that our goal is to be happy all the time. That's why we're always chasing the next accomplishment or appeasing someone else's anger so we can feel better, really. And so, you see this in marketing, you see it in social media, buy this and you're going to be happy. And it's because we've been taught that the goal of life is to be happy. But the goal of life is actually not to be happy. It's to experience all of our human emotions. For example, you don't want to be happy 100% of the time. If somebody that you love passes away, you don't want to feel happy. Right. You shouldn't feel happy. So life is 50-50. 50% positive and 50% negative. And you can't get around that, but you can control what your 50% are. But that actually leads me to the next foundational brick. So those were two things we learned as kids, that other people and external circumstances are responsible for how we feel. And that is wrong. And we also learned that our goal is to be 100% happy all the time. And that is wrong as well. But the next foundational brick are instruction manuals. And these are instruction manuals for how other people need to behave so that we can feel good and happy. So let me give you some for instances here. I'm gonna like try to think, okay, what have I said or not said? He should bring me flowers at least once a month. That's an instruction manual. He should tell me that he loves me every day. He should spend less time at work. She should write me a thank you note. He should support me. She should listen to me. As long as I've listened to her, she should listen to me, right? So here's another one that I personally came across recently. She should not get angry when I set a boundary. And that is a manual. But here's the thing. When we have manuals for everybody, and we're going to hand them out, here's how you need to react. Those manuals don't work. If I hand you a manual, or my husband a manual, my ex, my mom, my kids, my coworkers, if I hand them all manuals that say, here's how you should act so I can feel happy, I'm actually giving my power a way to them.
Right. Yeah. Good way of putting it. I've never thought of it that way. Right. I mean, yes, I'm sure most of us can relate to that on some level, yeah. Right. Of having these manuals of like, hey, here are the list of things that you must do or not do in order to make me happy or in order to not make me sad. And, right. And absolutely that language that I'm sure most of us can relate to as children and even as adults, because it's tossed around a lot. That person just made me feel X, or I feel this way because of him or her. Whereas, yes, it's a great way of looking at it in a much more empowering context. So why do you think that we as humans want to have these manuals that we pass out to people?
Yeah. So I love understanding our human brains, and I've learned so much since getting out of my narcissistic relationship and, you know, the 10 years it took to try to get out of that sucker anyway, but our primitive brains think we must be part of the tribe. So we have, you know, the primitive brain, the amygdala, and it says, have you done this before? No, then you need to stay in the cave, right? Don't rock the boat. And the primitive brain tells us we've got to be part of the tribe. We need to stay in the cave because being on the outside is scary and it's life-threatening. But in modern day, getting out of the cave, or in other words, being different from everyone else or rocking the boat, is not life-threatening. Now, internally with our, you know, your chest tightens, your throat tightens, you just get scared, like all of those physical activities that go on are the same, but we don't have to experience those, or we can overcome those, because what we're about to do when we speak our truth or set a boundary, we're actually not putting ourselves in danger. But here's the thing, being shunned from that tribe does hurt. It gives us emotional pain, and our brain wants that connection, right? So that's why we have these manuals for everyone, and we become manual creators. And sometimes it's known as a control freak, right? Yeah. We're like, why can't everybody just follow my rules so I can be happy, right? And sometimes it doesn't look like that. We don't imagine that we're handing a manual to other people, or other people are handing their manuals to us. Well, why didn't you do that? Why don't you apologize for that? And often there are things that we shouldn't apologize for, right? Other people's manuals aren't necessarily appropriate for us. So we give manuals to other people. It's just a human thing. And we just have to become aware and drop our manuals, because people are going to be people no matter what. So on the flip side though, and most of the people listening here, myself included, they become manual followers. And these are the people pleasers. So what do I need to do so that you'll be happy? And when you're happy, then I'll be happy. So you're kind of almost exchanging manuals. Like, I don't want to make others angry. I want to be labeled as kind. I want to see myself as kind. So I say yes to things that I don't want to say yes to, so that other people will see me as kind. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That is actually kind of a controlling thing. So we try to manipulate people into liking us, but it doesn't serve us well. And it just doesn't work, except for maybe on the surface.
Right. Yes. Certainly it could have its perks and work for certain circumstances, but after a while, you just start to, I know this being definitely a people pleaser, and it can be a very exhausting way to live. And I love that you mentioned that it's a control thing. And I think a lot of people don't really see it that way necessarily, but my experience of people pleasing is, I want to control other people liking me, because then I feel good about myself. Right. So there's that external approval.
Yeah. And the good thing is, what's great about this is when you realize that and you start to look inside and you start to do the work to actually love yourself, no matter what, that goes away. You don't have to trip over everything else to try to make other people love you. Mm-hmm. You love you. And that's just a beautiful thing.
Right. Yes. Way more nice to live that way, for sure. Yes. So where do boundaries come into this whole conversation?
Yeah. So doing boundary work, and it is a little bit of work, it's actually completely changed all of this for me. So we have to set resilient boundaries, not harmful boundaries. And so often you'll see the control freak type of person, and they'll do some isolating boundaries. Like somebody who has isolating boundaries is kind of afraid, like maybe committing is kind of controlling. They're trying to control the world with the manuals that they have for everyone. So they delete all the toxic people from their lives. And you see this on a lot of social media. You just need to delete all the toxic people from your life and your life will be great. Well, then you'll be alone because other people are going to be human. Nobody's going to act perfectly the way you feel like they should, right? And so again, it's kind of giving everyone else way too much power over your life. And you're going to end up isolating so much, you know, because there are people complaining and they're just being human everywhere. And this, you find this a lot in the political circles, whichever side you're from, other side you're vilifying, I've got to cut everything else, cut all of them out of my life. So people who have those manuals and like some of them are pretty doggone thick, they tend to be offendable. And they don't want to be around other people who don't think like them or other people who are negative. So these are the characteristics of people pleasers also, because they do some tap dancing. So you just dance to everybody else's tune, people pleasing. And so in other words, I'm just going to cut everybody else out because I can't help myself, people pleasing. And that's not right either. And what you're creating there really is an underlying resentment, because saying yes to things that you don't really want to do, you know that doesn't serve you and you don't really want to do them. You think you do, you're trying to convince yourself you do, and you try to convince them that you do, but you don't. And so you kind of feel like a victim and you complain. And so this one really bothered me, because once I realized that I was actually lying as a people pleaser. And I hate saying that, but it was, I had it pointed out to me early on. I wasn't really being honest with myself and with the people in my life. Oh my goodness. I really didn't like that realization at all. And people pleasers, they just don't say no. And sometimes in a loving relationship, even a loving relationship, is saying no. And that's the right thing to say. So if you're always, this is one of the things I tell people is, I was in such a people pleasing state that the morals and values that I had actually slipped lower, because I was trying to please that person and in such a way as to make them love me more. But you can't really do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kind of makes me think of the term, right? Self-betrayal, right? Because we do in that space, we are really lying to ourselves, betraying what we want, our values, our needs, all of that. So,
yeah. And you're worthy. All of us are whole and worthy ourselves, and we should love ourselves and we can get to that state. But at this point, we, you know, sometimes you just aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very interesting. And so, okay, let's bring betrayal into this conversation as it relates to boundaries. So, people watching right now might be coming from situations where they've had a betrayal in a romantic partnership, maybe an infidelity, or maybe they've had numerous betrayals via a narcissistic abuse type of situation. Any thoughts on how one can create boundaries in that powerful, resilient way, in situations like betrayal?
Yeah. So first of all, I have been in all of those situations. As you know, you're in a crazy thought process and you're just in crazy environment when that happens. But in spite of that, you can create healthy and resilient boundaries. Healthy emotional boundaries are actually statements about how you will act or behave in certain situations. And I'm going to give you some examples. And the download I've given you will guide you through this. We give tons of examples there. But before we even talk about that, you have to know that boundaries, and this is counterintuitive, boundaries are not for the other person. A boundary is for you, not against them. Mm-hmm. And this is really huge. So a lot of times, as mentioned before, we try to control or manipulate or threat about what other people should or shouldn't do. And sometimes it sounds reasonable, right? You shouldn't have an affair. You shouldn't cheat on me. You shouldn't do that. But if it's trying to control somebody else's behavior, it's not an effective or resilient boundary. So there's a two-step boundary template, and a boundary set correctly is step one, a request, and then it's a consequence, step two. So if you cheat on me, then I will leave you. And some people will say things like, you can't cheat on me. And they think that's a boundary, but it's actually not. Humans are humans. I hate to say this, but anybody can cheat on anyone. You cannot control somebody else's behavior. You just simply don't have control over anyone in the world, only yourself. And so that's why boundaries are for you. So a good boundary is thought of ahead of time with a rational mind. And it says, if you cheat on me, then I will leave you. And it's what you are going to do when you find yourself in a certain situation. It's a very subtle difference, but it is so very, very important. Let's take some examples that are, let's start a little bit easier. If you are more than 10 minutes late, then I will leave. If you stop by unannounced, then I will not answer the door, right? If you drop the grandkids off without calling first, then I will not be available to watch them. If you ask to borrow money, then I will say no. So all of those, if you yell at me, then I will leave the room. So what you want to do is make some of these ahead of time so that you're not in the moment. I've been there when, and this is what I always try to teach my kids. If somebody is yelling, that's their problem. That is not your problem. You can be totally calm. That is completely up to them. They are off the handle, not you. And that is not your responsibility. So what you do is you have boundaries and you say, when this happens, I will do this. You don't even have to tell the other person if you don't want to, but know in your own heart, this is what I'm going to do. If you yell at me, then I will leave the room. Some of us have had bosses that are narcissistic, right? So like even relationships at work, if you yell at me, then I will leave the room until you can speak calmly. If it continues, I'll call HR to discuss the situation, right? If you call me during work hours, I will not answer the phone. If you look through my phone, I will change the passcode. So all of those type of situations, you can have a plan, and it's a plan for yourself. And it's a boundary that you will say, here's what I will do. And then you stick to it. You stick to your boundary and you have your own back, really, because nobody else is going to. That person is not going to have your own back. Mm-hmm. You have to have your own back. And they're going to be angry, and you're going to have to be okay with those people being angry with you, because nothing has gone wrong. You're just setting your boundaries that you have every right to, and absolutely nothing has gone wrong.
Yeah, I think it's such a powerful way of looking at it, because right, even in your statements, right, it is, if you do something X, it doesn't mean we have control over what that person does. Like you're saying, right? If you do X, then this is what I'm going to do, or this is what I'm not going to do. So it puts it all back on our own personal power to make a choice in that moment, if something out here uncontrollable once again happens. And I think that's a really good way of looking at it. I think that it definitely brings the power back to us. And I like too, that you talked about it not being like setting a boundary against somebody else, because that can often be right. Maybe what we want to do, you know, maybe what we think we want to do is, oh, be against, and I set this brick wall up in this boundary. But yeah, the empowering way of looking at it is right, that it's for you and not the other person.
And I look at it in these manuals way as well, because Right. When you get married, typically you're married, you know, I always dreamed of being married for life. I never imagined that someone would cheat on me, but they did more than once. Right. And so I can't say you can't cheat on me. You know, I could, but it wouldn't be useful to me. But I can say, if you cheat on me, I will do this. I will leave you and back it up. Leave, right? That's the thing. You have to back it up. Now, because of that, and maybe sometimes you need a little practice, set some lower type of boundaries. If you continue to call me, I will turn off my phone. I will block you. I will do like smaller things that you know you can uphold for yourself. Because if you have huge things, I had one of my clients wanted to set a boundary with her teenager. If you do, I cannot even remember what it was, but if you do something again, I will have you removed from the house. And if you are not absolutely prepared to do the thing that you said you would do, then you need to not set that boundary. You need to be prepared to follow through because you have your own back. And sometimes we get in a moment and if you do this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to throw all your clothes. I'm going to burn all your clothes. I've had that wish before, but you have to be prepared for other people to be angry and you have to be prepared to follow through. So that's why we want to think it through with our rational brain. These are some of the things that have happened before, or I've heard other people experience them, or et cetera. What would I do if this happens? Here's what I'm going to do. And just set those in your mind and know that that's what you're going to do ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And absolutely. Once again, yes. Follow through for your own, you know, having your own back and your own trust in yourself. So yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm curious too, given your experiences and why you do the work that you do today, I'm curious what your answer to this is, right? What can betrayal teach us about ourselves? What do you think?
Oh, what can betrayal teach us about ourselves? What it can do is teach us that we can be resilient, that we can be stronger, and that there's nobody else that can value us more than we can value ourselves. And so one of the things that definitely that it taught me is that I have to value myself. If I don't value myself, I'll let other people devalue me. And so it was a beautiful thing. I found my self-worth through this. One of the things I talk about, especially on LinkedIn, is failure is fertilizer. Failure can be fertilizer. So all of this junk that you're going through, it can just sit there like a pile of poop, or you can use it as fertilizer to make an amazingly beautiful life where you love yourself. You value yourself. You have every right to value yourself. And so that's definitely what I learned.
Beautiful. Thank you. I appreciate you answering that. That's a beautiful answer. And for people who have had experienced a betrayal, whether it's romantic partnerships, friendships, bosses, what have you, and they don't want to repeat the cycle, right? They don't want to get into another relationship where they get cheated on. They don't want to have another friend that betrays them left and right or whatever. Any suggestions for people on what they might need to do in order to like have those healthy relationships instead of unhealthy ones?
Right. So one of the things I highly recommend is go back and say, what were the red flags? Usually, there's some love bombing going on. So if somebody is just like, I love what you love, I love all the movies you love, I love the food that you love, and sending you something every day over the top, that's love bombing. But then after that comes that devaluation, like, hey, oh, you're going to wear that? Really? If somebody ever said that to me now, I would like, okay, you're gone. So that's the boundary I set with myself. If someone ever says something that devalues me, I remove them, right? I don't want to interact or have a relationship with them. So what I do is I am aware of those red flags and I have my boundaries. If somebody does this, then I'm going to do that. So often what we'll do is we'll just kind of oh, he must not have meant that. Or I'm sure he didn't mean it that way. Or he was just having a hard day. And when you do that, excusing what they've done, you're ignoring those red flags. So have your boundaries there. And if someone says something, call them out. Why would you say that to me? If you say you love me, why would you even say that? And it's never, ever, ever, ever too late to start holding up your own boundaries. Never too late. Like if they've trampled over them before and you've allowed it, don't beat yourself up about it. Put up resilient boundaries and uphold them. It is never, ever too late to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Whether you're in a relationship right now that is not healthy or not the way you want it to be, and you're maybe struggling with it, right? You can always absolutely start that boundary setting right now, whether you end up staying in that relationship or not. But okay, mm-hmm. Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have any last insights before we wrap up?
Oh, you know what? Resilience is something that we all can experience. I've had somebody who was like 79 years old. She said, I'm just got to live with whatever I have. You're never too young and you're never too old to be more resilient than you have been and live a beautiful life. You have the right to have a beautiful life, and it's absolutely possible for every one of us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I love your last words. Thank you so much for doing this with us again.
Thank you, Andy. I am so pleased that you are doing, you put out such great stuff. Is amazing, helping so many people. So thank you for doing what you do.
Well, it's our pleasure. And thank you, Avaya students also who are watching or listening right now for showing up for yourself, for recognizing that you have that right and honor to love yourself. And it says so much about you just for listening today. So thank you for being here, and we will see you all again very soon. Take care. Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us for this latest class with Stacey Brookman. She was back with us today talking about creating powerful and resilient boundaries. I love talking with Stacey. She is always just such a light, and I really appreciate her work and all the amazing work she puts out into the world. So I hope you found this helpful. We talked a lot about obviously creating these powerful, resilient boundaries. And one of the big take homes for me was remembering and reminding ourselves that boundaries are for us. Right? A boundary is something we set for ourselves and is not something we're setting to be against somebody else. And I think that's so important, because that in that we can take the power back. Because even if you're in a tough situation, dealing with a difficult person or a betrayal or what have you, if you make the boundary for you, then you are holding on to that power. You are maintaining that power. You're not giving it away to somebody else. And then we also talked a lot about how, right, no one can make us feel a certain way. No one can force us to feel a certain way. We can't force another person to feel a certain way. And I think this is something that is taught to us when we're children, or most of us probably have this language that someone else makes us feel another way. But right, Stacey was reminding us that that is not the case, that the case is we have a choice, right? And it's not that we're going to be happy all the time. It's not that if you're going through some terrible betrayal or some really difficult scenario that you're not going to feel just terrible, that you're not going to feel sadness and agony and hopelessness and all of those things. Just being okay with the fact that you are feeling those things, and those are totally normal experiences to experience during this time. But just bringing it back to this conversation of, as you heal and as you go down this road, the boundaries you're setting are for yourself, right? It's putting the language back in your court. So if you do X, I'm going to do Y, so that you're recognizing it's not about controlling people outside of us as much as many of us want to, myself included, being a recovering control freak, how it would be nice to be able to, you know, control everyone, but we can't do that, right? We can't, that's not something we have power over, right? But we do have power over our own responses. We have power over our own behavior. So all things to keep in mind in your journey. I hope that you found this helpful, everyone, and we will see you all again very soon. Take care.
Avaya has changed my life.
Avaya has made me the woman I am today.
Avaya is my home.
Avaya is personal freedom.
Avaya is the reason my life continuously improves.
Let everyone in your life know about Avaya.
Everyone needs to know about this amazing company.
Thank you, Avaya, for appearing in my inbox.
What Ike Allen and Andy Anderson have created at Avaya is what the world needs.